Rabbi Yisrael, Guten Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parashas Acharemos, Tovshin Peidalet, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Mevorchin, the month of Iyar, which is going to come upon us as we're entering into the last days, the final days of the month of Nisan. We hope and pray that the Rabban Hashem should be Mazakas with Nisan v'Niflois, and we should be Zoicha to the Gula Shleima. That's what we hope and we daven for. And at the same time, we recognize that the Mahalach of the Zman continues. We had Pesach, and the Ant of Pesach was still in the week of the element of Kriyas Yamsuf. We had the last day of Pesach on Sunday night, Monday. And for those of you who keep 2 days Yom Tov, you had a second day of the Kriyas Yamsuf. So I want to speak a little bit about, number one, we always speak about the Matziv, and we always try to get chizuk from not only the parasha, but also from the Yom Tov, which we just went through. So we'll start out by saying that if we analyze a little bit just the Yom Tov of Pesach that we went through, it literally fits in so well with the concept of Pesach, Asher Pesach Abote B'nai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was shomer us, the tremendous amount of Nisim which took place beforehand, the week before Pesach, the days before Pesach, every day of Pesach. It was little we could see, literally the Yad Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watching over the Batei B'nai Yisrael, to the Mitzriim, to the enemies, there was destruction, and to us, there was Yeshua. So we have to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have not only be thankful and to give thanks and Hodah. That's the first thing, but for us to recognize what that means, that's a responsibility. We should be mechazik ourselves in our Torah and our mitzvahs to recognize the only shmir. The shmir comes about because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're trying our best to become better, and hopefully that will be our schus. The second thing is that what can we take out, a takeaway from the Yom Tov of Pesach, and specifically the last days of Pesach, or last day of Pesach, for Kriyas Yamsuf. I want to say over something which I said over in the last day of Pesach, as the Rebbe and I have had the minig the last few years to go away to Keren B'Yavne, the yeshiva. They have a program there, and they ask me usually to speak because they know that I'm going to tell them some stories. So this year I said over a Maisa, which I'm going to speak about in a moment, and the Olam really, really enjoyed it, so I'm going to share it with the Olam here as well. So we started off by raising the question that in Hallel we say, the famous words, Hayom Ra'a Vayonis, Hayardein Yisav L'Ochar, the sea, the Red Sea saw something, and then it ran away. And the Yardein, which is speaking about when the Jewish people went over the Yardein in the times of Yeshua, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, Yisav L'Ochar, it turned away, it turned back. And the question that's raised is, why do we use the Lashon Re'ia by the Yam? And also the Lashon of Nas, running away. And by the Yarden, we only said Yisav L'Ochar. It could be we mentioned this last week, but I want to reflect upon it, and we want to flesh it out. The Yisav L'Ochar turned away. So the answer that we gave is, based upon the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, that there's a difference between Kan Kodem Matan Torah and Kan L'Achar Matan Torah. Kodem Matan Torah, the Teva of the world is to follow in the laws of nature. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yam. The Yam is a place where people cannot really exist. What did it see? Hayam Ra Arena Shal Yosef. It saw the Aron of Yosef. It saw the fact that Yosef was Meisir Nefesh for his Yiddishkeit. And therefore it was Yisov, it was Nus. It ran away. Hayarden Yisov L'Ochar. The Yarden, that was after Kabbalah Satorah. After Kabbalah Satorah, then there's a new effect in the world, as the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says. Then there's the Koich of the Amolei HaTorah, the ones that toil in the Torah. They're the ones that they have the rights, so to speak, over the world. And therefore, there's no question. Pinchas Ben Yair was also able to split the river in order to get to the other side. So therefore, by the Yarden, it didn't see anything. It's just Yisav L'Ochar. All of a sudden, just turned away because it knew that Klal Yisrael, who's the Amalei HaTorah, the toilers of Torah, the people that toil in Torah, that they toil in Torah, they become the Balabatim of the world. So first of all, this is a great lesson that the Koyach of Amelus for Torah, the Koyach of toiling in Torah, and these were holding in the 49 days, but the 48 in Kinyonim that the Torah is Niktis Behen, and for sure, one of the prominent ones is to be Amal B'Torah, for a person to toil in Torah. And especially in these days where there's attacks against the yeshiva world, we have to recognize that it's only in the schus of the Amalei HaTorah that we're zoicha to have the shmira here in Eretz Yisrael. And we have to do all of our efforts to be able to mechazik the people that are toiling in Torah, the yeshivas and the kollelim and the chadorim. And this has to do with the people here and the people in Chutz La'aretz to recognize if the Torah will be learned, then there'll be a shmir. If the Torah Chas V'Shalom will be diminished, then the shmira of Klal Yisrael is also diminished, and that is a sakonis nefashis for Klal Yisrael. We depicted this with an unbelievable maisa, which we said over. It's the maisa of a yid by the name of Rav Motl Progomansky. Rav Motl Progomansky was one of the great iluyim of the previous generation, specifically from the Telzer Yeshiva, and I heard from both Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal and Yibodel Chaim Tov Maruchim, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, the way they described Rav Motl Progomansky as not only the Iluyim Sheb Iluyim, the geniuses of the geniuses of the yeshiva world, but he was literally a person that was a Kaddish V'Tohar, and if he would have lived longer, then who knows what kind of light would have been shown. And the proof is from the story which we're about to say, which relates to another person who we all have heard that name, and that is the Chazon Ish. So this is the story of the Chalitza of Rav Motl Progomansky. Rav Motl Progomansky survived the Shoah. He was in the Kovna ghetto, and eventually he was able to escape, and he was able to get out. And at the end of the war, he opened up a yeshiva in France, and he was able to be Marbet Torah. He was not well. He was single. He wasn't yet married. And there was a shidduch that was read to him about a certain girl that also survived the Holocaust. This girl was a lot younger than him. He had hoped that he would be able to have children together with the shidduch. And this woman came from a Hasidic background. And the shidduch was read. And they say over the story that at the shidduch, Motl Progomansky, when she came in, he said to her immediately, "I want to tell you a few things. Number one is, you see the hat that I'm wearing? You see the jacket that I'm wearing? They're not mine." "You'll ask me, why am I not wearing my own clothes?" They said, "Because your clothes are not befitting in order to meet a prospective shidduch." So they got me the hat, beautiful hat, and the clothes of a chassan who's getting married this week. He loaned me his hat and his jacket. But I want to tell you, I don't want to be chas v'sholom over on what's called I know that I'm tricking you. You should know this is not the way I usually dress." So they say that the woman said, "In our house that we were taught, al tistako bakan kan al bameshi yeshbo. We said not to look at the picture, not to look at the outer, not to look at the clothing, but to look really what's inside." So he enjoyed that retort that she said back to him. And eventually this woman and Rav Motl Progomansky, they got married. And he told her also, one of the things he told her is that he's not a well person. And he said, "I can promise you that I will give you at least a year of my life." And she was willing to be Meisa Nefesh, to be Meshamish, and to be the Ezer Kenegde of such a wonderful, wonderful Talmud Chacham and a Gaon and a Tzaddik and a Kaddish. I heard from Rav Moshe Sternbuch things about Rav Motl Progomansky, literally lines like, if he would have lived long and would have moved to Eretz Yisrael, which he wanted to do, then he would have been bigger than any gadol in the world. That can't imagine saying such things, which is hard to believe. But again, Rav Moshe Sternbuch has the right to say such things. So they got married, and they were living in France, and he was getting sicker and sicker during the course of his year, and she was mishamishim. And eventually, he was succumbing to his disease, to whatever he had, whatever illness he had. And a few days before he was nifter, he told her, "I have to tell you that I have a younger brother this younger brother of mine lives in America. I do not really know him well because he's 18 years younger than I, and I left the house before he was born, before my mother had him. But I know he lives in America. I do not know exactly where he lives. But I tell you, you have to get a chalitza and from this brother in order you should be able to marry somebody else and to have children. So he said, I can't tell you where he lives right now, but after I pass away, I will go up to the Bezen Shomailo, and there I will be zoiche. I will find out where he is, and I will get the message to you. Now, again, this shows us a little bit of the madregas of what kind of people we're talking about. Everything I'm going to tell you now sounds like a chassidus amaisa, but we'll put everything into perspective in a moment. So what happened was, he says, I want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and you should go to a person who's called the Chazon Ish, Avraham Yeshaya Karelitz. He's the leading gadol in Eretz Yisrael, and he will take care of the chalitza. Now, what happened was, he was nifter, the Levi, he was buried in Eretz Yisrael, buried in Bnei Brak. He was such a holy person that the Chazon Ish was malava him completely all the way to the cemetery, to the burial. The Chazon Ish was maspit him, which was not the derech of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said over that we've lost to Talmud Chacham beyond our imagination. And I heard from Yodei Dover that the Chazon Ish himself wanted to be buried next to Rav Motel Pergamansky because he held it was such a kaddish for Torah. And eventually he's buried in the same place where Rav Motel Pergamansky is buried. But she did not go to the Levaya. For some reason she didn't go. And she only went a year later. And a year later she came to the Chazon Ish. And when she came into the Chazon Ish's house, the Chazon Ish stood up for her. He stood up for Malay Kumasai because he said, this is the Eishes Chavar, and this is the covenant of the Torah of Rav Motel Pergamansky. Now she was astounded, she was embarrassed, the Chazon Ish standing up for her, but the Chazon Ish refused to sit until she sat. And then she told him that my husband said that I have to get a chalitza, and the brother lives in America, and I should come to you, and you're going to be Masada the chalitza. She doesn't know where the brother lives, just knows he's in America. The Chazon Ish told her, come back in 3 days. So she came back 3 days later, and when she came in, the same story, the Chazon Ish stood up for her, and then the Chazon Ish said to her, I want to tell you, ich hab gemacht a chassidische Kunst. I made a chassidische Meise. He made a little joke out of it. He said, I was able to be Megala the Neshama of Rav Motel, and Rav Motel told me exactly where his brother lives. His brother lives in Minneapolis, and he even gave me the address. This sounds very, very strange, but this is the Maisa. I saw this Maisa in a Chaveris, which was put out by Rav Motel Pergamansky. And he said, you have to go to America. I'm going to send you to three great Rabbanim. This is going back in the 50s. Who are these great Rabbanim? One of them was Rav Henkin Zatzal. One of them was Rav Byron Kotler Zatzal. And one of them was Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. These great rabbis are going to help you to get the chalitza. She went to America. I'm shortening the story. And when she gets there, she goes into the great Rabbanim, and she had a letter from the Chazon Ish describing everything that's going on. And they sent a telegram to the brother because he had the address. And a few days later, they get a telegram back. They didn't have cell phones in those days. And the brother, it seems, was not that religious. And he wrote back very sharply, I'm not interested in coming. I don't want to have anything. I don't really know. Didn't even know my brother well. I don't know anything about this chalitza. Stop bothering me. Now, they had said to him that if he comes, that they'll pay for his expenses. But now they had a dilemma. What should they do? So they sent a telegram to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish sent him back a couple days later and said, send him another telegram. And the telegram offer him $5,000. $5,000 in those days equal to around $100,000 today. And the Chazon Ish wrote a haskama that they should tell Gevirim that he feels that this woman deserves to get a chalitza, and that this is a great mitzvah, and to raise funds on this cause, and the Chazon Ish is backing up this thing. So they sent the telegram to the brother, and they get a telegram back a few days later. It's not, I'm not interested in the money. I'm not interested in the chalitza. Stop bothering me. I got to get to work. You know, he was a survivor himself, I guess, of the Holocaust. And he wanted to have nothing to do with this. So again, now it's the third part of the story. They send the telegram back to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says, wait 3 days. Wait 3 days. The Chazon Ish had this thing about 3 days. 3 days later, they get a telegram from the brother. The brother says, I'm coming to New York tomorrow. I want you to take care of the chalitza in one day. I don't have time for it. Okay. They didn't understand why he was coming, but this is what happened. He comes in to the great Rabbanim, the great Gedolim, and they ask him, Mikara Maikosovale, you know, you said that you didn't want to come. What all of a sudden happened? So he said, I'll tell you the truth. After you sent me that telegram, I had a chalom, I had a dream that night. And in that chalom, there were two people that came. One of them was my brother, Rav Matel. I recognized. And there was another Yid, and he described a certain Yid, a very distinguished face, a beard, and a certain style hat. And they both had canes. And they said to him, do you know who that person was? I never saw him before in my life. They pulled out a picture of the Chazon Ish. He says, yeah, yeah, that's the person. That was the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was in the chalom. And in the dream, they both told him, you have to go and you have to release this woman from her status, because if not, she cannot get married. And she's a person that can have children. And you have a responsibility to do it. So, and we're telling you right now, you have to do this. And they like picked up their canes to warn him. So he woke up and he went back to work the next day, like, you know, Vayikatz Parai, like Parai got up from his chalayim. And same thing over here. He didn't take much heed to it. The next thing that happened is, the next night, another dream. Again, the same situation. And then the Chazon Ish said to him, at that point he knows the Chazon Ish, said to him, if you don't listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to hit you with my stick. It's going to hurt you a lot. And this is going to be the last time that I'm warning you. So all of a sudden, he felt a big pain in the dream, is because the Chazon Ish hit him. And then he woke up. And when he woke up, the pain was excruciating. His foot literally was hurting. And he felt now it's something that's really, really true. During the 3 days that the Chazon Ish had said to wait, this somehow the Chazon Ish was able to go up in a chalom together with Reb Matel, and they warned him, and that's why he came. And he gave the chalitza. He gave the chalitza, and this woman was released from that matziv, and she eventually married the Sasava Rebbe. The Sasava Rebbe, and she had a child who's today the Heintike Sasava Rebbe. After she got the chalitza, she flew back to Eretz Yisrael. She went into the Chazon Ish, and she told the Chazon Ish all the different pratim that took place, the whole situation, and the Chazon Ish smiled. Rabbi Isai, when this woman herself became older and she was about to pass away, she revealed all of this episode to her son, the Heintike Sasava Rebbe. I heard as a very, very chashuv yid and a big Talmud Chacham and a zaken muflug. And she was able to have dairi dairis. Rabbi said, what's the lesson from this maisa? The lesson from this maisa is not that there are maifsim. For sure there are maifsim. A lot of people can do maifsim. But kan koidem matan Torah, kan la'acha matan Torah. La'acha matan Torah is the koyach of the Torah. Rav Matel Progomansky was one of the great, great Amolei HaTorah. The Chazon Ish was for sure one of the great, great Amolei HaTorah. They had the ability to go up to the Bezal Shel Malo. They had the ability to reveal themselves in a dream. They had the ability to give a clap. And that is the koyach of the Torah, Rabbi Isai. With the koyach of the Torah, it's Hayarden Yusuf La'achar. If not, it's got to be Hayom Rav Yonis. Have to be people that mamish Meisa Nefesh. Now, for sure, we have to have a serious Nefesh. But these are the things that we have to take with us, a takeaway from Shvi Shol Pesach, a takeaway from the fact that we are surrounded by the Umas Olam. And if anyone thinks that what's happening in America now, happening throughout the world on the campuses, is not something that the Rabbanu Shalom is the one that's involved. If there's anti-Semitism, it's because somehow the Rabbanu Shalom is putting out the message, what it says in this week's parsha. Kimaisa Eretz Mitzrayim Eshe Yeshafta Bo Loisasa. You shouldn't do like the episodes of the Maisa Eretz Mitzrayim. Ubuchukaisehem Loiselech. You shouldn't follow after their ways. And it's brought down. What are their ways? Their ways, you shouldn't go into the Musim Shalahem. Tartuyos, Karkisois, the movie theaters, without getting into all the different Yetzirahs that we have when we live in Chutz Laretz. And Revolbi writes that it's an interesting thing. When the Yidden were in certain countries where there was like Kemais Eretz Mitzrayim, then for sure, Loshina Loshina Malbusha, because we saw how decrepit the Mitzrayim were. When we lived in Russia and in Poland, we saw the way the Polish people acted, the way the Russian people acted, the coarseness of it, the lowness of it. So then people were steiging in Torah, no matter how difficult the world was. But when we went to the so-called enlightened countries, like Germany, and today we could say England, France, United States of America, the so-called enlightened, so somehow we believed that the Goyim are not so bad, and it's not so difficult for us to be different. Okay, yeah, we're a yarmulke, I'm socially a Jew, we eat bagels and lox, and we don't somehow separate us, and we don't recognize it. We cannot go in the ways of the Umas Olam. Now, it's not an easy message, but this is what the Torah is telling us. La'acha Pesach, we have to realize, just like Pesach HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we always say it's not just enough to take us out of Mitzrayim physically, it's Yitzias Mimitzrayim, to take the Mitzrayim out of us. We want to give a bracha that the Rabbanu Shem should continue to be Shomer Klal Yisrael. Iyar, Ani Hashem Refecha, this Shabbos will be Mavarach the Birchas HaChodesh. We hope and we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mezakas with the Gula Shlema, Benissin Nasidin Legoyal, Ez Hashem Yisbarach, should be Shomer, all of the Shvuyim, we should be Zoichim Yitzh Hashem to the Gula Shlema, wishing everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Thank you very much for listening. We want to thank jfoundations.com. If you could sponsor any of our activities, it'd be another way of addressing and being able to give over Torah to other people. Go on the website and show your support. Thank you very much for joining us.